Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Still the biggest South African comedy tour ever has been done. So then I got to open for him there and he was impressed. And I opened for him again the year afterwards at It's My Culture comedy tour. And then the next year, I finally found myself part of a lineup on a poster. This time I was on the poster. And my mom was so happy for me to see my face on the poster. She's like, ah, you're on the poster this time.
And your dad, was he proud?
And my dad was very proud, yeah.
Just no swearing, son.
Everybody, just no swearing.
No swearing.
No swearing.
Have you got that poster somewhere rolled up in your room somewhere?
Somewhere. I have it on my phone.
Oh, is it?
So I keep it there, yeah.
Yeah, I've also kept all my posters.
Yeah.
It's an amazing feeling when you go to a club or whatever. I mean, now it's all online, you know, it's social media.
Yeah.
But I used to go, saw my name there. I'm playing at this nightclub, trying to get that poster off, but they've glued this thing on. So I only got half of it. But yeah, it's a great feeling.
It's an amazing feeling. And when your name is Dylan, when I see Dylan Oliphant on a poster, I'm like, yeah.
Yes, you've made it.
thank you. I don't have to change my name to N anymore.
Did a lot of kids, your friends, tease you because your surname was Oliphant?
Because my surname was Oliphant. No, my grandfather always used to say, Oliphant, yo, real sir. That's all he ever said. But no one really teased me about my surname being Oliphant.
Because this is radio, and if you don't know who Dylan Oliphant is, he's about 150 kilograms. And that's why. No, I'm just kidding. You see, that's radio. People believe me. What, you're about, what, 80 kgs, no less?
I don't even know what weight I am, actually.
Because people don't know that's your surname, you see.
Oh,
they go, is he really fun? Is he really groot? Oh, I can't say what?
No, that's just my thing, my surname.
Oh, brilliant. So, did you do any stand-up and stuff at school, you know, when they had, like, you know, you had to do the end of the year maybe, you know, like everybody in the class had to do something on stage. Were you scared to actually stand up in a classroom or on stage at school? Were you very nervous to stand in front of a lot of people and do your thing?
I was very nervous. I remember even my first time doing stand-up comedy. I was actually at Parker's Comedy Club doing my first open spot. How nervous I was. You get 5 minutes, but I did like 2 minutes, I think.
But it felt like 2 days.
It felt like 2 days. It felt like a one-man show.
Do you still remember the jokes you told? Were they good? You know, if the jokes are good.
They were laughing. The people were laughing. I don't remember the jokes exactly, but the people were laughing for that 2 minutes. And then after that 2 minutes, I just went blank. I was like, I don't know what I must do next. So then I just walked off stage.
When you walk on stage and you do you tell your first joke, sometimes you don't have to tell a joke. You can just roll your eyes or body language or rip somebody off immediately in the front or whatever. If you tell your first joke and nobody laughs, you don't hear any clapping or whatever, what do you do?
I go on to the next joke because I believe in my stuff. I believe in my material. I believe in my jokes. I believe in what I do. And when you believe in what you do, there's not much that can throw you off. It's all about the belief.
Mm.
It's almost like Kanye West. You know Kanye West, right? Kanye West has the most. If every human being had the self-belief Kanye West had, the world would be a better place.
Even Paul McCartney is playing guitar for him now.
Playing guitar for him, I mean.
All right, let's play Miss Jackson Outcast now, and then after the song, we will find out what Dylan Oliphant has to say about this beautiful song. Have a listen. Jacaranda FM. Jacaranda FM Outcast, Miss Jackson. You can SMS us 37942 at a cost of R1.50. And our judge tonight is Dylan Oliphant. Yeah. And I've got Cabello here, I don't know what he does here. he just focuses on what he does, all the social media for us. And I'm here as well, by the way. So let's go for, you know, because you do one-liners like Stephen Wright. I mean, he's the genius.
Stephen Wright is the one-liner genius.
He is the one. But if you're sitting there at home now and you're bored, give us some one-liners and we'll decide if they're good or bad. And we'll see if they make us laugh, okay? 37942 Twitter cost of R1.50. You think you're a comedian? Bring it on. It's not that easy. And include your name as well. I hate this anonymous stuff. You know what I mean? And send us your one-liners. But don't go and Google one-liners. Just if you've got a good joke, just to get it on now, and then we'll tell you if you could do some support for you maybe one day. Hey, Dylan?
Well,
you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere.
So when you left Rosebank, outside Rosebank, that decision you had to make, was a very important decision because you're talking about you could have been a journalist, your salary, you've got a salary, a job, stability in life, you could have bought your first house, married, settled down. You know what I mean? All those things must have, you know, as a young man, you must have thought about that. And you decided, nope, I'm going to become a comedian, and this is what I want to do. Do you remember that moment when you said, "Ek is nou gatvol," soos hulle sê, and this is what I, this is what I, what happened in your life? Why did you make that decision?
I was actually on holiday from Rosebank College because you need to take holiday when you're at Rosebank College. You actually need more than that, just that one holiday I had. But I was on holiday. I went to Europe. More specifically Belgium. I went to Belgium with my church and we did some things there. We did some charity work, which is quite ironic because we go to Europe to do charity work. But yeah, so we did some charity work and we had a little concert there for people. And I was like, I'm going to try stand up there. And then I did like 2 or 3 minutes of stand up there. Well, of jokes that I thought of that I could do. And the people loved it. And I was like, I love this. This is what I want to do. This is exactly what I want to do. So I just, I came home, went to college for like a month or so. After the month, I told my parents, I do not want to be at Rosebank College. I want to do stand-up comedy.
How many people saw you when you did that stand-up in Belgium? How many people?
It was like 20 people for the most. It was just friends. And so it was not even, maybe it wasn't even the most genuine laughter you could get. But I felt like this, when I got onto stage and I did that thing, like this is what I want to do.
And also the jokes you told then, when it comes to jokes or whatever, it's not easy. You have to, I love people to tell jokes about what's going on in their own country. Look around. There's life is a joke.
There's enough material.
You just look at our politicians.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you tell a lot of jokes about politicians?
About politicians.
I heard just now.
No, I don't make jokes about other comedians. It's not ethical of me. No, I don't do much political humor. I speak about my life. And that's my jokes. That's where I come from. What's happening? Like, if you want to know what's happening in El Dorado Park right now, come to my shows. Come watch me perform.
Let's have a listen quickly to this clip.
And my mom says all I do is make fun of coloreds. Why don't I do political humor? Why don't I make jokes about Jacob Zuma or Julius Malema? Well, because I've got ethics. I don't make jokes about other comedians. And his talent is great.
Listen to that crowd in the background. Hey, do you remember where that was?
Yeah, that was actually my first theater gig.
Mm.
First paid theater gig ever. It was a proudly colored comedy festival. So there was only coloreds in the audience and the 2 Indians, I remember. Because they congratulated me after the show. So I remember those 2 Indians. And it was a proudly colored comedy. I remember it was right in the beginning of my career, actually. It was like 4 or 5 months into comedy.
Wow. The other thing is, the worst thing is sitting there. You go to a lot of venues, you can't hear the comedian. So if your voice isn't like, hey, like Stephen Wright gets close to the microphone.
Yeah.
But there are comedians that, especially the British, the Irish ones, their voices are like they...
Yeah, the accents are strong.
As well. But the problem is a one-man show, you need a theater. You need a good PA system.
Yeah.
And what kind of mic do you have a mic stand? Do you feel comfortable holding the mic? Because I see some comedians just use a little the little mic
lapel,
or holding the microphone in the stand. Does it give you a bit of confidence?
Holding the microphone in the stand. I actually go all the way. I can hold the mic. I can use the lapel. It doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't give me any. No, it's the same to me.
Mm. And do you worry about your body language on stage? Because, you know, when you do presentations and in corporate work and stuff like that, and you see the general manager or the CEO, you know, the way they the body language.
Yeah, the way they say it is like,
everybody looks at the body rather than.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You know, obviously you watch yourself videos and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel when you walk on, do you forget about that at all? I mean, what you do with your hands and
what I do with my hands. I actually noticed the other day, actually, while performing, that I love using my hands. I don't know, because I remember I was using, it's almost like I'm making gang signs on stage. I love using my hands. So body language is very important when it comes to stand-up comedy, I would think. My style is very laid back, very chilled, very nonchalant. But it's also something I work on. It's like facial expressions. Facial expressions can make a joke so much better than what you think it could be. Delivery, timing. That's what comedy is. Mm. Delivery, timing. And body language is so much, yeah.
And also when you tell a joke and people laugh, you have to let them laugh first, because when you come in with a punchline or whatever, while they're clapping, then most of the people can't hear you, so you must get your timing right.
Yeah, timing is important, actually. Timing is one of the most important things in stand-up comedy. Timing and delivery, I would say. What I do is, sometimes my material is a bit smart, so then I would deliver a joke, and then I would wait for them to laugh. Like, just give them just 2 seconds, just to get their heads wrapped around it, and as soon as you know it, they're laughing for it. So yeah, timing is important.
The worst thing is telling a joke, and you haven't hit the punchline yet, and they all laugh. Ah!
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.